Hey, garden nerds. A brief word about this week's episode before we start. We used a different recording software to capture this week's episode, and while the quality may be a little bit compromised, the content is still great. Hope you enjoy it.
It's the Garden Nerd Tip of the Week podcast, where we spend time chatting with expert gardening guests and we ask for their favorite tip. I'm Christy Wilhelmi. Thanks for joining me. Today's guest is Bren Hoth of Garden Chat. Bren created the popular gardening Twitter chat in 2010, and she continues to share videos, blog posts, and other great gardening content on Twitter, Facebook, and her website. Bren gardens year-round in a greenhouse and a 20-foot geodesic biodome on her small family farm in northwestern Ohio. Welcome to the podcast, Bren.
Hey, Christy. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to share with you today.
Yeah, and I have to start by saying that several of the guests that I've had on my podcast are people I've met through Garden Chat. So I owe a lot to your community building skills. Thank you so much.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you're in Ohio. Can you tell us a little bit about your farm and what you like to grow there?
Oh, goodness. Sure. Okay. So I'm in Northwest Ohio, and it's very flat land. If you've never been to Ohio, come on out, everybody. It's a great, great place. we've got a little bit of everything, to be honest with you, not to plug the state, but it is awesome. So I've lived in my county for, almost most of my life. When I moved out to the country, which was back in 2003, I lived in the same county when I lived in town, although I was in town, and my husband and I pretty much maxed out our yard with gardening and things that we could do to restore an old home that we bought. So we both totally needed to get out where there was more space, and we were so fortunate to find I call it a little piece of heaven, because I plan on living here till the end. I really do. I love it here. So,
and what hardiness zone? What's your hardiness zone, just for those who are listening?
Sure. It's actually zone 6, but I still like to say 5B, because it changed a few years back, and it can be kind of funny. It just depends, because I'm pretty close to the lake and the Michigan border, so sometimes we have weird things that happen. Usually good. Usually that really cold, I'm talking about winter, that really cold that usually comes across the northwest Michigan gets hit really bad in Cleveland, like Cleveland, Ohio, because of the lake effect. We're kind of like in a little pocket. It's kind of neat. It's just a neat little zone here. So,
anyhow. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And what do you have growing on your property?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So my husband and I maintain it's close to 18 acres.
Wow.
Yeah. 11.
You
11
said other... small family farm. And I was thinking like, oh, a couple acres.
Well, I mean, 11 acres of it is all natural woodland, like Ohio woods, though, up north. We're part of what was originally called the Black Swamp. It's really cool. We keep it all natural in the woods, and part of a river actually goes through the wood line that we own here. So it's always fun to see the different fish and different wildlife that will follow that trail, you know, and we like to keep it all just for them so we can all work together, you know, and
nice.
it really does work. It works out good. So I maintain roughly maybe 5 acres of landscaped area, counting. We've got a quarter acre pond.
Wow.
my husband kind of has his own little zones too. He puts together a really nice orchard in the back, and all the technical stuff that I could never figure out on my own. So mm-hmm. Really, really with the property here, actually, to be honest with you, as I get older, I think, oh, I don't know how either one of us will do it if we're not here to do this together, you know?
Right.
So it can be quite a challenge living out in the country. And literally, if you just go outside of our little zone area, our neighbors and everything, it's farmland. You'll see, the corn is almost down now. Most of the soybeans are done because there's rain coming in, and cow farm close by, and sheep and horses. So we're like in the middle of everything. I love it.
Yeah. And you said you have an orchard. So what fruit trees do you have growing there?
Oh gosh, I have to. Most of that is my husband's credit. He's the one that grows them and maintains them. I basically pick and give my advice on what I think you should put in. Because I'm
sounds
kind
like a
of
good balance.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. This last spring, actually, we lost really nice. It was an apricot tree and one of our pluots. I'm really bummed because the pluot needs the other tree to produce, and so now I'm short one. So yeah. So we got to figure that out, what we're going to end up putting in there. Back in the orchard area, actually, we've been working back there. I've been giving you a run around a little bit, trying to connect with you, because we just got done putting down about 750 feet of tile, which is a big tube. You'll see them out in the farms. I'm not sure in your neck of the woods, but out in the Midwest, you'll see these big, they look like giant hoses, right? Sitting out in the field. And So what the farmers do, they trench. We use a Ditch Witch. My husband restored. It's an antique farm equipment. And he trenched, and we got 750 feet roughly of this tiling down in the orchard area, and most important, around my dome.
Oh, and I saw a picture of the dome with a ditch around it, and I wondered what was going on there. So what is this, what is the function of this, of the piling?
All right. So the importance of putting drainage back there is because it's a big meadow, and we did run into a little bit of old tiling. So we're thinking maybe back, you know, in the 60s, maybe that area may have been farmed. So at the present time, without having tiling up there, all the runoff just comes in this area where the dome is, the meadow, and it would just collect. So I'd have a lake. I'd have a lake back there. Yeah. And I mean, literally, like, I have to wear the heavy muck boots and all that. And this last spring was horrible because we were so wet. And I hate to complain because, like, you're out in California, aren't you?
Right. Yeah, we're on fire right now.
No,
it's and pretty, I hate pretty dry here.
Yeah, I hate to complain about the water, but it was pretty bad, and it really inhibited me with getting some of my large plants and things that I've grown to go in other parts of the yard that were in the dome. Started early, I couldn't get them out. I literally had to kind of just pile them because I usually use. I have a older golf cart that I drive back there and lift the big pots into that. So with it being flooded and not deep enough for my canoe to get back there.
All right, because you have a lake. Of course you have a canoe.
Yeah, really, you can do that. And yeah, no, that didn't work. So it kind of put me behind with a lot of things. It was like a trickle effect, you know. The weather was crazy, but it was an awesome learning experience, though, seriously. So we got... We're all set for next year, so bring it. Bring the rain.
Great. Well, so speaking of your geodesic dome, and you also have a greenhouse, how does the growing in the dome differ from growing in the greenhouse?
I started out with a traditional home garden greenhouse. It's a 10 by 12. It's a double pane. They don't sell it anymore because the polycarbonate that's used on this, or it's a certain material. It's like polycarbonate, but not quite. It was the top of the line back in the big, like, probably late 80s, maybe. I fell in love with other gardeners online, specifically a Canadian that was growing up in zone 3 in a greenhouse. And I'm like, this is cool. Because at the time, I was trying to do lights and do my own, like, trying to grow things in my office and in my living room and stuff. And I just thought, boy, if they can do that up way up there in Canada, I'd love one of these. And then I started looking at the prices, and, you know, a good greenhouse is not cheap. And so my husband knew I wanted one pretty bad. So he's like the king of resale and Craigslist and, you know, all those other ones out there. And he happened to find this greenhouse, an older couple, maybe 2 hours from us, had it, wanted to get rid of it. They just weren't using it. And it was still under warranty even when we got it. So we went down to their home and took it down and brought it up here. And I quickly became addicted to all the things you can do, you know, breaking the rules, if you want to say, by growing, you know, undercover in a dome, or, well, that was the greenhouse. And it was a challenge, I'll tell you. Probably best to compare it to the dome now.
Sure. So the dome is a different material.
Totally. You know, I love the greenhouse. In fact, it's still standing. It's getting a little rough right now. Mostly, I'll be honest with you, I'll go out there when it's a little chilly, which for me, you know, it's in the 50s or 40s. So still inside that greenhouse, you know, it's a good 10 degrees warmer. And I do have a couple of plants just in there, but they're not going to make it once the winter comes. My cats have actually, a couple of them been sleeping and they're keeping warm. You know, I don't know. They like the little hangout in there. You know, I'm guessing there might be some mice coming in off the fields now because it's, you know, it's getting cold up here. I feel bad sharing the greenhouse because I'm in the dome now. I love the dome. It's just a totally different way of growing, totally different science behind that shape, you know, having that geodesic shape. It just handles the wind so much better. And it's actually, in my opinion, much better use of space. Because, I mean, I have things hanging in there.
How tall is it?
So if you stand in the middle, it's roughly 16 feet up in the middle.
That's not small. Okay.
Yeah, no. And if you stand on the sides, even, it sits on a 3-foot knee wall. So that gives you a little more height there too, which, you know, like if you're in the greenhouse, you're really limited if you stand on the side of that, or even like if you grew in a tunnel, you know, you don't really have as much space on the sides, right? Where in
right.
the dome is specifically on the south facing wall, you know, we ran the plastic covering all the way to the ground. So, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's the best use of light and space. It really is. The dome is put together totally different than the greenhouse. It really is.
In the geodesic dome, uh-huh. Do you have lighting, or do you just use the natural light that comes through the fabric?
Okay, so yes and no. I do actually have some lights out there, but they're more for fun because the domes really became a place to hang out. Too.
Oh.
In fact, today, I mean, it was hard coming. In fact, I looked at my watch. I'm like, oh, I got to meet up with Christy. And I was like, just sucked into, I don't even know. It's just, everything's just so cool in there. So even if you weren't a gardener, you would love this space. It's just, it's so much warmer in there. It feels like, you know, a cool morning in Florida or, you know, Southern California.
Cool.
You know, it's just nice and comfortable. With any greenhouse or dome, that wrapping that you put on it is really important. It's all about how you want to grow and what you want to do with it. I was lucky enough to get a really neat covering. It kind of looks like bubble wrap. I love it. It's amazing. It diffuses. So you get like the best sun coming through. I mean, I literally have to put sunblock on all year round because I will.
Oh my God.
I will think, you know, in January, oh, it's so cloudy. You know, I'm not really going to get anything. And then I'll get out there and I'll see things blooming still, which from the sun, and I'm like, it's so cloudy. How is this happening? And if I don't put my little, you know, 10 block on, I will have pink cheeks if I'm out there for a couple of hours, you know? So it's
wow.
Just awesome. Yeah. But, you know, and then there's other coverings, you know, you could just put even, you know, like a plain plastic just to protect something you're growing, you know, try to prolong that season. And, you know, that'll work good too. Just different, you know, it's all what you want to put into it. So, yeah.
Now, do you run into issues with pests or diseases inside the dome during the growing season? And if so, how do you deal with them?
Okay, so that's what's really cool about the geodesic biodome now compared to my greenhouse. I do get bugs in the dome, and I also have critters in there to kind of help. It literally is like a little rainforest in there in a way. I have a frog, and I have a toad, and there's a snake in there somewhere, which I haven't seen them yet, but I'm sure you'll know about it when it happens because I'm sure I'll tweet it and stuff.
Okay.
But I'll get little bugs, but not, I mean, it all works together. I've never had, you know, I have an eggplant way up high right now, and I'm still trying to figure out what's getting up there and nibbling on the leaves just a little bit. I mean, I'm not sure what's doing that, but you know what? It's not hurting anything. The things are still producing. So that's what's kind of cool about the dome. You can grow organically without having to worry about introducing other things to take care of problems. I think the biggest problem I've had in there is because I like growing citrus, and I've got a couple of my lime and the kumquat last year, or both 2 years in a row, got hit again with that. I hate those, the aphids. And then it also got that scale, I think it's called. Oh, those things are so gross.
Yeah.
So I tried something new. I usually just do like a soap mixture. You know, there's different brands out there, organic brands or whatever you want to use to spray those down with the soap. But I actually tried ladybugs last year, and that was really cool. They did the job, I'll tell you.
Oh, great. Yeah, and you know, I have had students tell me, you know, I went and bought ladybugs and they all left, but they won't leave if you're in your dome, right?
Exactly.
Kind of captive.
You're right. And it was kind of funny because, you know, I'd see them in different areas, like usually over once the citrus was clean, I'd see them over like on my tropical hibiscus, you know, that grow in the dome year round, because I can't keep those outside here in Northwest Ohio. You know, we're getting close. In fact, this weekend, I'm very sure we'll have our first hard frost, and, you know, those things can't make it outside with that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And we're recording this. It's almost the last day of October. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you get it kind of early, I guess. Wow. But not as early as some. I've heard some people who have frost in September, which is just mean.
Oh, yeah.
So you mentioned that you have hibiscus growing in your dome. What are your mm-hmm. favorite plants to grow in that space?
Well, I think it depends on the season. Mm-hmm. I really had a great time this year with, I have a little pond in the dome. So I've been trying to learn on my own and just things that I've read online about hydroponics and aquaponics, you know, just growing in water. So this year, this is going to sound silly, but I've got these they're called water lettuce. I forget the fancy.
Oh, yeah. I saw a video of this. You got a bloom off of it, right?
Yeah. Well, that was the hyacinth. So I do have.
Oh, yeah. Water hyacinth.
I have a couple of those, but those always die back in the winter for me, even in the dome. I don't know. I'm not sure if the water just gets too cool, but I'm going to try again this year. Knowing one of the water tanks I have, I'll probably put that hyacinth in there and then maybe put a cover over it, just because certain areas of the dome in the winter, it can be negative 10 outside, but inside the dome, I don't let it get below 45. So
okay.
We do have a heater in there, but it hardly comes on. And that has a lot to do with passive heat and all these things that I've put in there, you know, everything from brick to rock, to the water, to buckets of water, to the soil, you know, and kind of the way you stage things close to the south wall, I noticed helps. And I put little thermometers in different zones in there. So I've kind of kept track over the last 4 years. This will be my fourth year with the dome now. So you got me on a birthday here. I'm really, really excited. I look back at pictures and live streams I did when we first got the dome built here. And wow, I can't believe it was only 4 years. Literally, it's like it looks like 10 years that I've done all that. You know, there's so much in there now, and it's so easy. It really is. So
you said you have a mm-hmm. couple of citrus and you've got a eggplant. What else is going on in there? And the water hyacinth and the water lettuce, you said.
Yes, those are doing amazing. I'm really excited to see how those are responding to the different areas I put them in and what they're doing to the water. You know, there's a few other tricks. I don't have algae in my water now. I haven't had to clean algae out of the pond. And oh my gosh, there for a while I was cleaning out algae like every week. It would be so bad, you know, but not anymore. And the plants are just going nuts. And I have a way with, there's some rocks in there that in a little water feature flow down area I have that's basically filtering. And so I have a little bucket I'll hold under there and rinse the ick. You know, you're going to get some fish poop up there. And I put those in on, like, right now I'm focusing on the eggplant. And of course, I want to keep the tropical hibiscus blooming really nice. So I've been using that fish water up in there to feed those. So they're doing great. Oh my goodness. Right now I'm loving, I have patchouli in there, and I've got a tea tree that's just beautiful. I enjoy that year round. It stays green. It's huge. I have a tea tree in Ohio.
That's amazing.
This thing, it was like maybe eight inches tall when I got it a couple of years ago at a local garden center. And this thing literally is climbing a part of the south wall, which I was a little concerned with, but it's so wispy. It's actually perfect in the summer because, you know, it gets hot in there. You know, it's all closed for the most part, except for some exhaust fans on the sides. And, it's like the desert in California. It can be that hot in certain areas of the dome during the summer. So,
and by tea tree, we're talking Melaleuca, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
I know. It's a Mediterranean plant.
Yes.
I mean, tea tree is Melaleuca. It's an Australian native plant.
Yes.
It grows in Mediterranean climates, and you're growing them in a greenhouse dome in Ohio.
And
I love that.
It was just a little herb I saw at the garden center. I thought, well, I wonder how this will do. Maybe I can make some tea with it or something. And I brought it home.
Interesting. Well, if it is a Melaleuca, and we'll have to double check this, but
yes,
it's used for the oils.
Yes.
So it's a very antibacterial oil property.
Yeah, it is.
Very cool. So I'm going to jump. So you have, you mentioned you have your cats, and you have a very, very cute dog, and your cats are adorable, and they were wandering all over your videos. How do you keep them from messing with your garden?
You know, we all kind of work together. People ask me that a lot, like the cats. So I've got four cats outside. Now, remember, we have a lot of space here. And four of them, they are outside. But, you know, like, it's a farm. You need to have this because it's going to help with mice. You know, I don't get squirrels up by the house or even the little groundhogs. I think they just... Animals know, they'll smell a predator and they stay away. You know, most of them do. Field mice, you know, that's another story, but they all kind of have their own zones. And I've never had a problem with the cats. I think it is what you plant, because I do have catnip, and I like to plant it right on the edge of certain gardens, especially by delicate plants that I don't want the cats to get into or lay on. You know, if I have something like a lily or something that's delicate that I've put in that I don't want the cats in, I actually will plant it kind of near the catnip, because they go right to the catnip and they'll lay all on the catnip, and then they're like in a trance and they just leave everything away. I don't know. I've never had a problem with them, you know, at all. Now the dogs, you know, we originally had an Australian Shepherd, and the only problem I had with the Aussie when we first got her was teething, and she chewed down Don Juan climbing rose, which I was so upset, because it was like, why did you do that? It was the only one I could grow, you know, back in the day. That's all I could get to grow before I knew all these other varieties and before the other varieties were even out, right? And yeah, that was the only problem we had with the Aussie. And I'll tell you, we just sprinkled a little hot pepper on it, and he never chewed, or she never chewed on plants again, ever. I mean, that sounds mean, but not, you know, actually some of the original hot peppers are used for defense and things like that. So now
what shake away and like squirrel stopper and stuff is all pepper oils and whatnot.
Yeah. Or stinky garlics and things like that. Right. Anyways, now Olivia, the Australian Shepherd, was she almost 16 years old. So, you know, she crossed that rainbow there. And we ended up getting right away a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. And we just love Oliver. He's just a great breed. Oh, it's an amazing dog. And I've got to watch him, because he, like, you know, like any puppy, they like to chew on everything, you know.
Right.
But you just got to watch him when they're young. you know, if you have a dog, you know, and they eventually get it. No, you know,
right. Yeah.
But, he's pretty good. He knows the commands, you know, go around and stay out. And, but he knows it's funny. He really respects things, you know, like even earlier we were leaf blowing and he's so cute playing in the leaves, just jumping and having fun. And then he'll jump up on my raised bed outside, but he stays right on the brick, like walks on the edge. Like he, yeah, okay. I've only had to tell him twice, stay out, you know, don't, you know.
So training is key.
Yeah, just paying attention, you know, like a kid.
Well, it is tip time. Do you have a favorite tip that you'd like to share with the Garden Nerd audience?
I am all about growing year-round, and it's just so much fun. Even if you're not a gardener, that's fine. It's just awesome to have something green around you year-round. It really is. And I've learned this over the years talking to people who, you know, don't consider themselves gardeners at all. And you just give them a plant or, you know, we're so lucky today. There's so much technology out there now. And even different types of the plants that we have and seeds that we have available today that we didn't have even 5 years ago that basically anyone can grow. And I just would encourage everybody, just try it. And if you fail, that's awesome. That's how you learn. And it's just a great feeling knowing, oh, wow, that's awesome. Look, it grew or it didn't grow. So what did I do wrong? You know, so just go right. for it. You know, like me with a greenhouse, I never would have imagined, you know, I thought, oh, we'll get this cheap greenhouse. And if it works, it works. So well, you know, and look, I like have this huge dome thing I want to live in. Actually, we might end up doing something like that in a few years. Actually, my husband's even getting into it now, where he's like, no, oh, cool. we could add on to this in the back and have like a little living space in there.
You know? Right. So, you could add a second knows? Dome and then build know, a tunnel right? between the two of them.
Totally.
Your whole living space out there.
Totally.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. Well, thanks for sharing that tip, Bren. I totally agree with you. I think everybody should try. And if you fail, that is how you learn how to garden. So don't be afraid of failure. Thanks for being on the Garden Nerd Tip of the Week podcast.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, where do people find you?
Oh, that's easy. Just go to brenhaas.com, brenhaas.com. Kind of like a Haas avocado, right?
But avocado.
spelled different though, two A's, one S. And you'll find all my social media on my website there. I'm on Twitter, of course, with gardening and YouTube. I love creating videos. So check me out on YouTube and Facebook, all at Bren Haas. So there it is. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. All right, garden nerds, you'll find links to Bren's website and her Garden Chat Facebook page on Garden Nerd this week. You'll also find a link to her podcast and her latest video about dahlias, because we saw that earlier, and that's really pretty. That's it for this week. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Visit us for tons of free gardening information at gardennerd.com. Show your support for this podcast and the other free stuff on Garden Nerd by becoming a Patreon subscriber. You get all kinds of fun stuff and behind-the-scenes goodies. You'll also find us on Instagram and Twitter under Garden Nerd 1, on Facebook as gardennerd.com, and, of course, our Garden Nerd YouTube channel. Happy gardening!